There have been many moving and memorable farewells over the years. This past week, I looked up Jonathan Edwards' farewell sermon to his Northampton church, a church that he had pastored for 23 years and delivered shortly after 1750, or right around 1750. His pastorate there came to an inglorious end. Those familiar with the history of Edwards, and it's one of those, just like, how in the world could a church dismiss, probably, many would say, this nation's finest theologian, pastor, man of God, thinker, writer, yet this church said no more. Well, Pastor Edwards climbed that pulpit that particular day and said a few of these words. How often have we met together in this house of God, in this relation? How often have I spoken to you, instructed, counseled, warned, directed, and fed you, and administered the sacraments among you, as the people which were committed to my care, and whose precious souls I have had the charge of? But in all probability, this will never be again. My work is finished, which I had to do as your minister. You have publicly rejected me, and my opportunities now cease. He then goes into the main substance of his farewell sermon, and it is packed full. And what he does is he talks to different subgroups within the congregation. He talks to believers, and he gives them a charge. He talks directly to those whom he knew that were in the congregation who were not saved, who had not come to saving faith, and he warns them. He talks to the youth. He talks to the children. He instructs them. And then he gets to the end of all of that, and then he says, I have a little bit more advice for you. And then he gives it. And it's just some wonderful nuggets of truth. He gets to the end of that portion, and then says, as he closes, nothing remains but that I take my leave of you and bid you all farewell. Let us never forget our future solemn meeting on that great day when we all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then he stepped down. There are many other examples of powerful farewells. In our history, there are certainly some. George Washington's final address, given in 1796. Powerful, powerful delivery. General Douglas MacArthur's farewell to Congress, right around 1950, when he got to the end of it. You remember the words? He closed this way, an old soldier who tried to do his duty as God gave him the light to see that duty. Goodbye. And then he walked off. The scriptures contain many farewell addresses. Jim mentioned a couple of them. There's Jacob's in Genesis 48 and 49. There is Joseph's in the chapter that follows, Genesis 50. There's Moses' ending, in which he, really all of Deuteronomy, but certainly the last part of. We have David's in 1 Kings 2, which we heard a portion of this morning. And we have the apostles' farewell to the Ephesian church in Acts 20, which we also heard. But there's another powerful farewell address in our Bibles, and it comes in the chapter in which we are at this morning, Joshua chapter 23. If given the opportunity, what would you say? What would you give as your farewell address? What would you say to the ones you love? What would you say if you're married to your spouse, if you have children to your kids? What last instruction would you have for them? What last instruction would you have for your church? What last instruction would you have for any who would listen to you, who were involved in your life? Well, I commend Joshua's farewell to you. It would be a good model for us to use It's an even better model, though, I think, for us to adhere to listen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that this farewell address, given many, many years ago, almost 3,500 years ago, Father, would be an address in which we remember simply as not an old soldier saying goodbye, but it is a man who was given an inspired farewell, and there is so much truth here for us. We pray, Father, that we would hear, and Father, we would heed. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua 23. We'll be closing this book, preaching series, obviously, next Sunday. The first Sunday in November when we're in our new building, we'll have a special message devoted to that. And then begin our next series after that. Which I know what it is, but Jim doesn't, so I'm not going to say what it is yet because I need to make sure he knows what it is. Joshua 23. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel a rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations and for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will punish them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations to this day. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000. Because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them. The Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Now, we said last week that these last three chapters of Joshua, 22, 23, and 24, concern the same issue, the same theme, and that is the worship of God, the proper worship of God. And that's what chapter 23 is about, that the one true God would continue to be worshipped by those that now follow Joshua. And by doing so, that God's people would continue to be blessed. Chapter 23 has chronologically now, though, jumped ahead from chapter 22, using the words in verse 1, after a long time had passed. Well, how long? Well, most believe in the neighborhood of about 20 years. Joshua is now old and well advanced in years, we are told. Josephus, the Jewish historian, says that when Joshua left Egypt with Moses, he was about 40 years old. Well, we know that Joshua and the children of Israel were in the wilderness, another 40. We know that it was about a 7-year conquest. So that put Joshua right around 90 by the end of Joshua 22. And again, most believe 2 more decades or so pass. So we have Joshua about 110 years here giving his farewell address. In the first part of his message, verses 2 through 11, Joshua reminds the people of God's faithfulness to them, how he had fought for them and delivered the land into their hands. It is in this first section that he exhorts them to continued obedience and then the resultant continued blessing that would follow. In the second part of his message, verses 12 through 16, in a straightforward and candid way, he warns them what will happen if they don't. Now let's take a closer look at some of the specifics of Joshua's last sermon, his farewell address to Israel and to those whom he loved. His first point is verse 3. It is a plea to remember. A plea to remember what God had previously done, what God had done. He says, "You yourselves have seen everything that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake." You've seen it. His plea is that they would look back and remember it. They would turn around and see all the things God had done. This is his first point. For they, like we, had a very short memory. You've already seen God do great things, Joshua is saying here. Don't forget that fact. The second thing he tells them to do is in verse 6. Be strong. This is not a plea that they might look to themselves for strength. This is not a plea that they would dig deeper, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, or whatever other phrase we want to use here. Conjure up strength from within. Not at all. Chapter 1 helps us here. 2 times in that chapter, and I think we brought this up when we were looking at that one, was in verse 6 and verse 9 of chapter 1. The Lord tells Joshua this very same thing. He says, "Joshua, be strong." And then you look at those verses. The verse that precedes one of them, verse 5 of chapter 1, we read this: "I will be with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you." And then in chapter 1, verse 9, where he says, "Be strong," we read this: "Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." In other words, this charge of "be strong" is given within the context of, "I'm going to be with you." That's God speaking. "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you always. Be strong then, because the Lord is with you," is what he is saying. In a lot of ways, this second point is like the first one. Remember, the Lord is with you. Because he is, be strong. If we were to break this sermon down, here's his third point, verse 6. "Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." Joshua didn't point them to some moral code. "I want you to do this." He didn't point them to some standard he made up for them. He pointed them to God's written standard in the Bible. And it's so important that we see this. And by the way, what was the written word of God at this time? Well, the first Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. We really get the impression, though, from chapter 22, that what Joshua wrote down, what we basically have is the book of Joshua, was also added to the canon of Scripture. I don't have time to get into that, but that very likely is the case. And it's important that what we see here is Joshua pointing to that written Word of God. Now, as parents, for instance, if all we point to our kids to do is say, "Here, this is our standard. This is our family's standard. Go do that." In it, we contain, or in a particular standard, is what we think is right, wrong, good, bad, etc. But the problem with that is that it's just us standing behind what's good, bad, right, good, etc. That's the danger. And so we might even say this from the eyes of our children. Big deal. We're just teaching our kids to accept our ethic, our morality, which in the long run is actually inviting them to create their own when they are older. For they will soon see that lots of people have opinions about right and wrong and good and bad. And if that was just mom and dad's way, so what? I like this code over here better. They may say, oh, we must point them to God's standard. God's standard. To God's ethic. To God's law. It is God who stands behind His Word. His written Word. His law isn't true because we say it is. It's true because He says it is. It therefore is a law that is right and good and true. It is so now and it is so always. And in this farewell speech, Joshua is imploring the people of God to follow that written standard. Verse 7 is the next. It reads, do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. And I'll paraphrase it this way. Watch who you associate with. Watch who you associate with. For if you don't, their deity may become your deity. A sad commentary, however, is that this will be one in which Israel will repeatedly fail. Really, from Joshua 23 through all of the Old Testament into the New, for that matter, we will see the sad and tragic consequences of violating this particular prohibition. By the time Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? This sinful path will lead God's people over and over again into very bad places. It continues to this day to be one of the major stumbling blocks for God's people. Verse 8 is next. Hold fast to the Lord your God. There's a sense of diligence in these words. There's a sense of perseverance. A sense of urgency. Hold fast, he said, to the Lord your God. Verse 11 is another. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. The word so is there because it links it to the previous verse. Well, what's the previous verse? It's there Joshua reminds them, one of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you just as He promised. Joshua is saying now to his people, love God because you belong to Him. He fights for you. Love Him in return. Now this is the first part of Joshua's farewell. We could say he gets to the point rather quickly. A part where now he has emphasized the blessings of faithfulness. It is now in the second part, though, he tells them of the other side. And there is another side. It is the curses that will be theirs if they choose to disobey. And this part of the farewell is of equal importance. If you turn away and align yourselves with those outside of God, verse 12 he said, if they will, no if, they will be a snare to you, verse 13. In fact, and then it's this language, this very vivid language, they will be whips on your backs. They will be thorns in your eyes. That will be the result. And just as the Lord has been faithful in keeping all His good promises, verse 14, He will be faithful to bring on you all the evil He has threatened. Closing then with verse 16, if you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which He commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land He has given you. You see, and we have to see this, the cursings are as significant and play as significant a role as the blessings. Joshua wants Israel to know the reality of both. Okay, at the very beginning, I posed a very quick little question to you, or a quick little statement, I guess. If you get to give a farewell address, and you're given, 16 verses to do so, what would you say? Well, here's a good template for you, church. And envision yourself delivering it to all the ones you love. And this was an exercise, actually, that was very enjoyable for me as I got to this part of Scripture, or this part of the text of my message this day, to envision myself giving a farewell to my family, giving a farewell to my church family. What do you want them to remember if given the opportunity to do this? What last instruction would you have for them? Now, the overall theme of these three closing chapters, 22, 23, and 24, is the overall theme of Joshua's farewell. I implore you to properly worship the Lord. That's there. Though he doesn't go out and say that statement directly, all the points that he makes supports that overall theme, that overall thesis. Here is a farewell address using Joshua's inspired points. Loved ones, remember what God has already done. Would you think about that? He created, we sinned. Yet despite our rejection of Him, He sent His Son to receive the penalty we deserved. Remember His great love, would you? Remember His redemptive plan. Remember His fulfilled plan. Remember how He has cared for His church through the centuries. Remember how He has protected her despite all her shortcomings. He promised the gates of hell shall not stand against her, and that certainly has been the case. Remember how He has blessed you, how He has blessed me over and over and over again. We didn't deserve His smiling providence. Though we may not always see or feel it, we've always had it. There have been times of hardship and loss, yes. There have been times of frowning providence, even. Yet in the midst of those times, He has proven Himself as a God who always cares, as a God who is always there, and a God who is able to take broken and ugly things and make them whole and beautiful. You remember these things. Don't have a memory limited to yesterday. Have a memory that looks back upon the ages. He has done great things. Remember this. Remember this. Remember this. Loved ones, be strong. The weak give up when facing adversity. Don't. You can be strong as you remember His presence. As you remember His promises. Have faith. Have a strong faith. A faith that recognizes God is here. When it is light out and when it is dark. When things are going well and when they are not. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Loved ones, obey the written word. He has told you to worship Him. He has told you how to worship Him. obey Him in it. He's told you how to treat one another. He has told you to forgive one another. He's told you what your mission on this earth is. Don't trust instinct, gut, or intuition over His revealed, written Word as found in the Scriptures. And to obey the written Word, you must know the written Word. You have a copy, my child. Read it. Know it. Do it. Obey the written Word. Obey the written Word. Obey the written Word. Loved ones, be careful, very careful, who you associate with. Don't let the false gods they serve get even close to you. It is dangerous to nestle with those who hate God. And anyone who does not believe Him as Lord and Savior does hate God. J.C. Ryle helps put into words what I want to communicate to you. Choose friends who will benefit your soul. Friends whom you can really respect. Friends whom you would like to have near you on your deathbed. Friends who love the Bible and are not afraid to speak to you about it. Friends you will not be ashamed of acknowledging at the coming of Christ and the day of judgment. And loved ones, this certainly goes to a whole deeper layer when we're talking about the one, those of you who are not married, who someday will be married. You marry the most, when you do, you then receive the most intimate of earthly relationship. Choose wisely. Choose one who will benefit your soul. And perhaps, even if you were to have children, the soul of your children. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, the Apostle says. Watch, loved ones, whom you associate with. Watch whom you associate with. Watch whom you associate with. Loved ones, hold fast to the Lord. Persevere in Him. He will never let go of you. Therefore, hang on to Him. You can't see ahead. But He ordained what led. Hold fast to the One who will lead you and never forsake you. When everything tells you to let go of Him, no. Abide in Him, says the Scripture. He will grasp your hand all the more. Hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast to the Lord. Loved ones, love the Lord. Don't just have an intellectual affection for the things of Him. Love Him deeply with heart, mind, body, soul. May your love for Him and His kingdom permeate your mission. May it be your passion. Withhold nothing from your Lord. Especially your love for Him. There is no such thing as loving Him too much. Can't do it. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. And here is an amazing thing regarding these six things that I just gave you. Not only are they the right things to do because He is God and you are His, you are His creation, but you will be richly blessed for being faithful and doing that which you are supposed to do anyway. But if you choose otherwise, and you must hear this, you will be cursed. It will not go well with you now, and especially later. You must know this side of the story as well. It will be the most awful of things to fall into the hands of a just and holy and wrathful God. One more thing. I hope that our farewell, is only temporary between you and I. For I have been given heaven itself, and been given all eternity to be in the presence of Almighty God. I desperately want you there with me. I want to close my eyes that final time saying to you, I will be waiting for you. I will be waiting for you. I will see you soon. And I can't wait till we are together again, this time in the full presence of the Lord God Almighty. That is my farewell address, borrowing heavily from Joshua. I recommend you do the same. Children, family, and church, worship the Lord in this life. Come worship Him forever in the next. Farewell. Amen. Let us pray. Father, hopefully there are some things for us to ponder. Whether it's hearing some of those points just mentioned, just proclaimed, just preached, or whether it's thinking in terms of what we may need to say to those whom you have placed in our charge. Father, we pray that we would be a people who live life with eyes open, not with our head down, going nowhere fast, bumping into things. Father, may we turn our eyes to heaven and see the truth that is found there, found truth in the Scriptures. Father, we pray that we would be a people that would live heeding these words from Joshua 23. Father, we pray that you would help us towards that end. In Jesus' name, amen. Appropriately so, hymn 350, Be Thou My Vision. Please remain seated.